with an interesting story here on Issues Etc. An interesting story from a long, long time ago. We're going to be talking about St. Lawrence. The church remembers St. Lawrence on this day, and he has one of the more, I guess you could call it gallows humor. It's actually literally gallows humor when it comes to someone like St. Lawrence. Pastor Richard Hines will be our guest here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in numbers today for the next 3 hours, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you're going to want to stay tuned, and you're going to want to remember that phone number, 505-7850, or the in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, because in the next half hour, we've got audio open lines. Pat Robertson thinks that he understands the whole situation in the Middle East quite well, and he thinks that God is going to protect Israel no matter what happens, because this is God's land, and he'll explain a little bit of that in the next half hour during audio open lines. And if Pat Robertson can use the Bible to try and explain the goings on in the Middle East today, well, so can the various personages and representatives of Lebanon. They go back to the Bible too to say that what Israel is doing there is wrong. We'll play some of that for you in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. during audio open lines. Then, in the second hour of the program, Deaconess Emily Carter joins us. We'll talk about women, feminist lies, and the gospel. She made a presentation at the Higher Things Youth Conference recently titled The War Against Girls, Feminism's Assault on Women. At 4:30, Pastor Kirk Clayton will join us from Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoota, Illinois. I know where that is. We're going to talk about homosexuality. In the third hour of the program, David Gibbs, pro bono attorney for the Schindler family, is going to give us an insider's perspective on the story of Terry Schindler Schiavo. He says there was a case to be made that the media didn't either see, hear, or report, and he'll share that with us in the third hour of Issues Etc. Let's see, what's going on at 5:30? Oh, Soundbite of the Week. How could I forget Soundbite of the Week? I don't know. We're going to play Soundbite of the Week at 5:30. We got four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio. We're going to play them for you, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we want to know from you which one of these soundbites is your soundbite of the week and why. That's coming up in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Now, we don't have an 800 number today. You must call area code if you're calling from outside the 314 area code. Area code 314-505-7850. I usually just give you that number, 505-7850, as the local number. It's going to have to be everybody's number today on Issues Etc. because the 800 number for some reason is not functioning. 314-505-7850. Or you can also email us at any time. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. Today the church remembers 3rd century deacon and martyr St. Lawrence. Pastor Richard Hines joins us, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lanesville, Indiana, and author of a reflectional devotional on St. Lawrence for Higher Things. Pastor Hines, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
All right, tell us first the story from whence we learn about St. Lawrence's gallows humor.
Well, as you say, it happened a very long time ago, about the year 258 A.D., and Lawrence was serving as a deacon in Rome. There were apparently 7 deacons that served the bishop there, and they had duties that helped out the poor and cared for the needs physically of people, but also liturgical duties as well. But the emperor had given orders for the bishop and pastors and deacons to all be rounded up and killed. And the bishop was killed first, along with several others. And a few days later, they caught Lawrence, and he kind of ticked them off. The emperor had demanded that Lawrence would bring forth the riches of the church and the treasures of the church. And so he had secretly already given out all the wealth to the poor people. But then he brought the poor and the sick forward and said, "These are the true treasures of the church." Well, that ticked them off to the point that they said, "You're going to die now." And in fact, it's going to be slow and cruel. So they ordered that he would be strapped down to a grill and literally roasted to death. But the ironic thing is, there's a legend in the church that says, after a while being on the grill, he joked and said, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side now." And then right before he died, it is said that he said, "I'm cooked enough now."
So well, I mean, this is obviously, as I said, gallows humor, a bit of humor even from a dying saint. But let's set it in its context, if we would. First of all, you mentioned that he served as one of the deacons in Rome during this time of Christian persecution. What was a deacon?
A deacon, often deacons were preparing to be pastors, but others simply thought that they would stay in this duty. They would help out the poor. They would look after their needs, whatever the church could do to help them out, whether providing shelter or clothing or the necessities of life. And then also, they had certain duties in the church of preparing the sacrament that the pastor would distribute and perhaps reading the gospel lesson and so on.
And what was Christianity like in Rome there in the mid to late 3rd century? What was it like for Christians?
Well, it was a much more dangerous situation. Jewish people were tolerated as a legitimate religion, but at this point, Christians were seen as illegitimate. And so, in fact, Rome, the officials there really thought of Christians as atheists, ironically. So it was illegal to be a Christian, and even more so, it would be a crime to be a pastor. And so the people were, this was the period of history where Christians were often hiding and having their services in the catacombs, which were underground burial chambers in Rome. And in fact, that is where they captured Sixtus, who was the bishop at that time. So it was a dangerous thing to be a Christian, and even more so to be clergy.
So the Christians would have been, I mean, we often picture this as kind of a ragtag band of people who met only furtively and then informally in the catacombs and never really got anything together until Christianity was recognized about 50 or 60 years later here. Mm-hmm. But in fact, it sounds as though the Christians, what we know as the church, even in its structure, was well in place, even though Christianity was technically illegal.
Definitely. You know, it's a popular misconception that Christians would just kind of gather in their homes and have what we would call a Bible study. At this point, from the very start, from the apostles' first weeks in Jerusalem following Pentecost, they were gathering for the divine service, the worship service with preaching and the sacrament of Holy Communion every week. In fact, maybe multiple times every week. And so they're and the liturgy would be very similar, although perhaps on a simpler scale, to what a Christian would commonly find in a Lutheran service or even a Roman Catholic or Episcopalian service.
Now, you, early in your devotional on St. Lawrence for the Higher Things website, quote this expression, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." What truth is there in that, Pastor Hines?
I think we can see this even outside the church, but especially in the church. When the church is persecuted and Christians lose their lives for the sake of the gospel, it, on the one hand, it is something of sorrow for us who are left here. And of course, we miss them, and it can be terrible tragedies that befall them. But on the other hand, there's such encouragement, and it can even embolden us further when we look at these great examples of faith. And that's really why the church often remembers saints in this way. In the Lutheran customs, we don't, of course, pray to saints or ask for their help or aid, but from the very start, the Lutherans have seen the good that comes out of honoring their memory and thanking God for them and their example of faith, and the usefulness of imitating these great heroes in the faith.
We're talking with Pastor Richard Hines. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lanesville, Indiana. He's author of a reflection devotional on St. Lawrence, who's remembered today by the church, both a martyr and a 3rd century Deacon. Our call-in number, remember, since our 800 number is out today, it's 314-505-7850, 314-505-7850. Of course, if you're local, you can always just dial 505-7850. If you're outside the area, use that area code 314 or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Then coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to have some audio open lines for your questions and your comments. Pat Robertson and the Israeli and the Lebanese ambassadors to the UN with various answers from the Bible about what's going on in Lebanon. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes on Issues, etc. All right, you mentioned that it is not only an inspiration to the church today that these martyrs gave their lives, some cases, like with Lawrence, apparently joyfully for the name of Christ. But history seems to indicate that the church thrived under this kind of persecution. Rather than dwindling to practically nothing, it grew and grew under persecution.
Right. I mean, we just have some great examples from that period of history of strong church leaders and others that really have given us great examples and worthy examples to follow and to imitate.
So how do we square this, Pastor Hines, with our comfy situation today? I mean, you were in Indiana, I'm in Missouri. When I walk out the door here, I will have spent 3 hours publicly, openly, on publicly owned airwaves, in one form or another, talking about the Christian faith, openly. Mm-hmm. No one runs in here and stops me. There are no laws against it. I'll drive home unimpeded and live very comfortably, go to church on Sunday. The only thing that hinders my way is the cost of the gas. You preach openly every Sunday. We have a comfy existence. So square that with what seems to be kind of the historical norm for Christians, even in this century, of being under persecution.
Well, I think we see an example of that even in our own congregations. You look at a congregation such as the one I serve, and officially we have probably 700 people that claim to be members, and yet on a given Sunday we're somewhere shy of 300 that come. Well, the other 300 or 400, where are they? Well, they're a little complacent, and it's just a sad truth of our existence here, living in a comfortable area. And yet when you look in modern examples, such as when Germany was divided and it was illegal to publicly speak about your faith, secretly the Christian church was thriving in East Germany and in Russia, and we had no clue how much it was until things broke down and opened up.
I mean, similarly, if we look at where Christianity is growing the most, it is often in cultures and even under governments where Christianity is at the very best kind of impatiently tolerated, and in some cases at the worst being actively persecuted.
Right. We see, I think many of us too are amazed when we find out just how strongly Christianity is spreading in Africa, even in countries where they're have more of a domination of Muslims in the government and so on, and yet there's Christians thriving there. I know our students are amazed when I point out the fact there are more Christian or there are more Lutheran Christians on the continent of Africa than there are in North America. We just don't often think about that, but in these areas of persecution, it's emboldening the Christians all the more that they see these examples of people who are willing to give their lives if they have to, and it's just a wonderful witness of truly following our Lord.
Are we ready, like St. Lawrence, who gave his life willingly, who knew exactly what it would mean when he came out and kind of thumbed his nose at the Roman leaders when they asked for the treasures of the church and he presented them the poor? Are we ready for persecution? And if not, Pastor Hines, what does the church need to do to prepare for that?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Lawrence is a very good example. When his bishop was captured several days before he was, he was actually regretting the fact that he wasn't captured then. And it's said that his bishop said, "Don't worry, your turn is coming soon." And lo and behold, it did. But you know, on the other hand, even somebody like St. Peter, I mentioned him in my devotion as well. Peter is there on the one hand saying, oh, I'll never fall away. Even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. And there on Maundy Thursday, he denied Christ three times. You know, here's the Prince of the Apostles, one of these greatest examples of faith, and even he had his moment of second-guessing. And that can happen with all of us. It's easy for us to say, here in our comfortable situation, oh, sure, I'm willing to give my life for the Lord if I need to, but none of us truly knows when the moment would come just how bold we would be. It's only by the grace of God that we can give a faithful witness, just like the word martyr means. The word martyr, the original meaning is simply witness.
You originally wrote this devotion, of course, for young people, for kids who were high school aged.
Mm-hmm.
What about that next generation or the generation that follows them? They're certainly not guaranteed the same kind of freedom and comfort that we as Christians have had here in the West. What is the message, not only of the legacy of men like St. Lawrence, but also the Church's message, Scripture's message, to that next generation of Christians?
Well, and I think they don't even have to wait until they're older. You have the pressures of your friends and even perhaps unbelieving teachers and professors that provide all sorts of pressure for students who truly hold a biblical faith. But the message is that, you know, the Lord stands with us and the Lord brings us through this. And whether or not it means that we have to give our life in a dangerous or violent way, that Christ is still with us all through it and is the one bringing us to be with him, whether it's when we are at a very young age or dying a good old age.
Do you think that the young Christians who are going to eventually follow us, do you think they're aware of this?
I think that just as everywhere, we've got good, faithful congregations and pastors out there preparing our youth for living out their faith and living lives in Christ through their baptism. And, of course, there are other places out there that it may not be as clear, but we pray that the Lord of the harvest keep sending faithful pastors and other adults in their lives, that they will hear the word of Christ clearly and be emboldened by that gospel to give a good witness.
Pastor Hines, in the Reflections devotional, you quote John's gospel where Jesus says in the 12th chapter, whoever loves his life will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Your thoughts on this, not only as it pertains to men like St. Lawrence, but to the one who originally spoke these words, Jesus himself.
Sometimes people get caught up on the hating their life in this world, and that does kind of throw us the way Jesus uses that there. Of course, he doesn't mean that we detest our lives or want to do anything to end it early or anything like that. But he wants us to have that proper focus, that everything here is simply a precursor to what's to come. The better, the best, is yet to come. And so our lives in this world are simply just a time of a preview or just the waiting time before the wonderful, glorious joys that we can't even begin to imagine. And so if we focus constantly on this life and things that we think will make us happy now, we're going to miss out on the true joy of the gospel and the wonderful eternal life that he's giving us.
Finally then, Pastor Hines, I hear this story about the great courage and even the humor of this third century deacon and martyr, St. Lawrence. And honestly, I fear that, as you said before, I don't know if I would have the courage to do the same thing. How would you respond?
Well, I don't think, you know, it's hard for any of us to imagine that, and we wouldn't really be able to know completely what we would do. But then on the other hand, we don't need to know what we would do, because it would be the Lord working through us at a moment like that. And we pray God to give us the wisdom and the courage, and that the Spirit would give us His words to give a faithful witness to Christ our Lord. It's never about us. It's always about Him.
Pastor Richard Hines is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Lanesville, Indiana. He's author of a Reflections devotional on St. Lawrence, who the Church remembers this day, for Higher Things. You can read this devotional on the web at higherthings.org, higherthings.org. Pastor Hines, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Pleasure to have you. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is preparing not only pastors for a ministry in a world that is less and less certain of having the culture's favor, especially when you're preaching Christ and Him crucified, but also equipping lay people for the same future in the 21st century church. To that end, they have a series of lay leadership retreats. One is called Equipped to Serve. It's held near the end of September, the beginning of October. And the other, you've heard about it before, it's the Image of God Conference. It's the Christian Vision for Love and Marriage. Both of those will be hosted by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, during that weekend or during the September-October time frame, right there on their campus. For more information and for specific dates, you can call them, area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204, or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Scroll down right there on the homepage, and you'll find a link to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and to the Love and Marriage Conference late in September there on their campus. When we come back from this break, we've got audio open lines. Pat Robertson, not one to remain silent, especially when he thinks he knows exactly what's going on, whether it's hurricanes or the impending threat of hurricanes at the United States, or what's going on in Israel between Israel and Lebanon. He has an explanation. He says he thinks God has pretty much planned this one out. It's God's territory. God will defend Israel. And he says this is what he was taught by his own mother from childhood. And then on the other side, of course, we have the Israeli and Lebanese ambassadors quoting the Bible, too. And these ambassadors to the UN say that the Bible there really would indicate that what Israel is doing to Lebanon is wrong. It's not what Israel and Lebanon should be doing if you read the Bible. We'll hear about that during audio open lines right after this break, and we'll take your questions and your comments. Area code 314-505-7850. Our 800 number's out today, 314-505-7850. Or email us for audio open lines, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Tomorrow on the program, the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. A very interesting conversation with him. Then after that half hour of audio open lines in the second hour of today's program, Deaconess Emily Carter will be our guest to talk about women, feminist lies, and the gospel. That'll be followed by a brief conversation on homosexuality. Pastor Kirk Clayton of Zion Lutheran Church in Muscoda, Illinois, will be our guest in the third hour of the program. We'll start out talking with David Gibbs, who's the pro bono attorney for the Schindler family, things you didn't know about Terry Schindler Schiavo's life and death. And then we'll play Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here are some subjects that are surely of interest to you. Living and dying, what is the church? Church and state, God's grace, faith, the sacraments. Well, our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August provides insight into all of these issues from the perspective of Martin Luther. It's titled, Luther's World of Thought. Concordia Publishing House is the publisher. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a chapter from Luther's World of Thought on our website, issuesetc.org. How did the social, political, and religious climate of the 16th century influence Martin Luther and the Reformation? Luther's World of Thought begins with Luther's life and times and ends with his death and his legacy. It's a hardcover book. The cost is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther's World of Thought, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Louisiana prepares for the overturn of Roe.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
This summer, Louisiana Governor Kathleen Blanco, a Democrat, signed into law a statewide ban on abortions. The law, which would not take effect until the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, prohibits all abortions except those necessary to save the mother's life. Blanco cited overwhelming bipartisan support for the measure. The House approved the bill on an 85-17 vote. Abortion opponents say if other states choose to follow Louisiana's lead, it will help build a consensus to reverse Roe.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I urge you in view of God's mercy to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Ho-hum, that's nice. Hear that passage or many other passages, and nothing goes off in our minds. So routine, so untransformed. But set that passage against something else, and you may well get a lot to think about. Hear this from Oz Guinness in his book, The Call. In the decades I have followed Jesus, second only to the joy of knowing Him, has been a sorrow at the condition of those of us today who name ourselves His followers. If so many of us profess to live by the gospel, yet are so pathetically marginal to the life of our societies, and so nondescript and inconsequential in our individual lives, is there something wrong with the gospel, or does the problem lie with us? Jesus has not asked us to die for Him, as much as to live for Him, living sacrifices, Romans 12 said. Anything transformative happening in your thoughts? I'm Dale Meyer.
Experienced choral singers are invited to audition for both paid and volunteer positions with the Bach Society of St. Louis. Auditions will be held on Monday, August 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Washington University West Campus on Forsyth Boulevard in Clayton. The chorus rehearses every Monday night beginning August 28th from 7:30 to 10 p.m. in the same location. Auditions may be scheduled by calling the Bach Society office at 314-652-BACH.
When they're baptized, bring them into the liturgy and they're part of the family. And I've found in our congregation that the kids who have grown up from literally before day one, they are so at home and so in tune with worship that it's a marvel to behold. And if you stop and talk to them, they have the words of institution, the creed, all memorized before you even jam them into a class to try to get them to memorize it. There are amazing things going on. And if you do like we do at Thanksgiving dinner, where you make the kids sit in a rickety card table in another room so they can never participate in the adult conversation, then don't blame them when they grow up to be acting like kids later on in worship, because you haven't given them a fighting chance.
As Pastor Bill Swirla, his thoughts on children's church yesterday during a conversation here on Issues, Etc. That's one of our sound bites that we're going to put before you in 2 hours here on the program when we play Issues, Etc. sound bite of the week. We'll play that one and then three others. They're all chosen from various conversations on Issues, Etc. this week. And then we give you the choice. You actually vote by calling or emailing us for which of the four sound bites we put before you in 2 hours is going to be your Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. The call-in number, 314-505-7850. The 800 number is out today, 314-505-7850. And the all-important in-studio email address, which, as I have reminded you many times before, needs to be used early during Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, so that we don't get your votes after the show is done. issuesetc@kfuo.org. In 2 hours, Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week.
We believe firmly that the Jewish people are the people of God. We believe that this nation is a nation of destiny.
That's Pat Robertson talking about American evangelical support for Israel. Now, he claims to be speaking, I think, not only for himself, but for many Christian evangelicals when he says we in those things. Of course, he's picking up on what's going on in Israel. Israel, for the last 2 weeks plus, has been engaged in a military offensive, a defensive war, but also some offensive aspects to it, with its neighbor Lebanon. Of course, Hezbollah is holed up in Lebanon, and that seems to be the ongoing conflict there. There have been called for ceasefires, but of course no ceasefire has been declared yet. The UN has chimed in. We'll hear in a few minutes from the Israeli ambassador to the UN and the Lebanese ambassador to the UN. And everybody, Pat Robertson and both of these ambassadors to the UN, everybody's quoting the Bible. It's audio open lines. Our call-in number, 314-505-7850. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pat Robertson talked about his recent travels to northern Israel.
You never know when death will rain on you out of the skies. I was in two instances where I had to seek a shelter in an air raid shelter, a bomb shelter, because these Katusha rockets were coming in. Nobody knows where they're safe, any place in northern Israel.
I think that's probably true. Of course, it was rumored that there were thousands of rockets stockpiled by Hezbollah in Lebanon, and that they've been using them. And this is, of course, what the Israeli army, during its ground offensive, is looking to find, these weapons, so that the threat to Israel, in particular northern Israel, can be laid aside for the time being. Then, Israel says, then we'll have a ceasefire when we disarm Hezbollah. Does Pat Robertson speak for you when he says, look, Israel is in danger, it's defending itself, but it's defending more than just itself as a modern nation state? Here's Pat Robertson. He says that he met, when he was in Israel, with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert.
When the Prime Minister was talking to me, he said what a flawed treaty the Oslo Accords were. Well, the Oslo Accords would gave up a large portion of the territory to Yasser Arafat.
Well, that's true, but of course, until Olmert took office, that's precisely what the previous Prime Minister was doing. The only way that they found them, Israel could find themselves out from under a constant threat of terrorist attack or suicide bombing, or in the case of Hezbollah, rocket attacks, was to trade land for peace, which is what they were doing. They were withdrawing from certain areas. They never said it wasn't theirs. They just said, well, the Palestinians can live here. Now, this is a problem for Christians the likes of Pat Robertson, because the original Old Testament boundaries and territories, every last square inch of it that was occupied by Old Testament Israel, in Pat Robertson's way of thinking, still belongs to the modern nation state of Israel. I heard someone say the other day, a divinely decreed nation, and that its borders are drawn by God, and that God will defend those borders, and that's exactly what we're watching happening over there with Israel's offensive. That's what Pat Robertson says is going on. And when he says it, he says we, as though he's speaking for many Christians. Does he speak for you? 314-505-7850 or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pat Robertson says the Bible itself teaches that the Jews are, have been, and are still national, nation, God's chosen people, the modern nation state of Israel. That's the same thing we're talking about in the Old Testament.
I was taught when I was a little child by my mother, you know, the words of God to Abraham, blessed are those that bless you and cursed are those that curse you. And she always said, you must bless the Jewish people. And from a little boy, I learned that. So this is deep in the DNA, if you will, of the evangelicals of America.
Well, in Pat's DNA, no, there's no doubt about that, but Pat, you were taught wrong. Nothing against your dear mother, but you were taught wrong. While it is certainly true, the words that he quoted there, the promise made to Abraham included those words, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and through you all the nations of the world will be blessed. Pat, if your mom taught you that that's about, only about, this little piece of geography over there in the Middle East being deeded for all time and eternity to the blood descendants of Abraham, she taught you wrong. St. Paul pretty much puts that one to rest when he says the children of Abraham are those that are the faith of Abraham, not just Abraham's DNA. And you notice in all of the time Paul talks about Abraham and the promise that was made and how this promise was not about seeds but a seed, namely Jesus Christ, and he centers all Galatians, Romans, everywhere Paul writes about Abraham, he says those promises are all pointing toward Jesus Christ, not the modern nation state of Israel. Every time he does it, he never has anything to say about the land being the permanent territory of Abraham's blood descendants. Paul says there's a much bigger and better fulfillment to the promises God made to Abraham, namely in Jesus Christ. Pat Robertson says his remarks about former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, who of course suffered a stroke and is still incapacitated by that stroke, were largely misunderstood.
I was just pointing out what the prophet Joel had to say about this being God's land, and God looks at it very seriously, and I said, woe unto those who would, under the pressure of the United States, of the United Nations, give up God's land.
Is he trying to dig himself out or dig himself in? Because it sounds like he's digging himself in deeper. I was misunderstood. Everybody thought I was saying that Ariel Sharon was suffering some judgment from God when he suffered a stroke because he had traded land for peace. I wasn't saying that. All I was saying was that Ariel Sharon was suffering some sort of judgment from God when he traded land for peace. Do you see a difference? I'm sorry, I don't. You know, maybe Ariel Sharon ate too many, what are they called? The hot dogs, the kosher hot dogs that you see on television, made with real beef. Hebrew Nation, is that what they're called? Hebrew Nation, maybe he ate too many Hebrew Nation hot dogs. Clogged his arteries and had a stroke. It might have had nothing to do with Ariel Sharon's foreign policy at all. Finally, here's the Reverend Pat Robertson. He says that the Bible's prophecies, if you want to understand them correctly, says Pat Robertson, you really need to read them in light of Israel's future.
My feeling is that God is going to defend this country.
Well, here's the problem. I asked this. We had a show recently on Christian Zionism, and I think that's a label that probably fairly fits Pat Robertson when it comes to his view of Israel, that Israel is the sum and substance of biblical prophecy. Israel is the key to understanding biblical prophecy. If you want to know about what prophecy means, you look for its fulfillment in the modern nation state of Israel. That's the way he's reading the Bible, rather than the way that Scripture would recommend that we search the Scriptures and find therein Jesus Christ as the sum and substance of biblical prophecy. He seems to disagree with St. Paul, who says, whatsoever promises God has made, which I would think include the promises made to Abraham, they are all yes in Christ, not in the modern nation state of Israel. Well, I imagine that under his scenario, God would have to defend Israel. But we asked, when we had this guest, his name for some reason escapes me, about Christian Zionism, I said, what would happen if Israel, and this was when Ariel Sharon was ceding land for peace, so what would happen if this is just the way things go for Israel, and eventually Israel is cut up by its neighbors, and divided up, and the nation-state ceases to be? What would they do? Because according to Pat Robertson's reading of the Bible and of the headlines, not God just doesn't want to defend Israel. He pretty much has to. The prophetic timetable has been set into place, and for Israel to cede any land, for Israel to suffer any kind of serious injury, or for it to cease to exist, as some of its neighbors would like to see the state of affairs, well, that would turn back the hands on the prophetic clock. So when Israel is launching a ground offensive into Lebanon to root out the terrorist group Hezbollah, which I happen to think for completely non-scriptural reasons is a good idea, if they're doing this, would Pat Robertson say, this is God defending his nation, his land? I got to know, what does God need a land for? Do you agree or disagree with Pat Robertson? 505-7850, or if you're calling outside of the Metro St. Louis area, it's 314-505-7850. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Thursday. It's the 10th of August. Does Pat Robertson speak for you? I know he speaks for a lot of people. There's no doubt about that. 505-7850, or outside to St. Louis, 314-505-7850. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, Pat Robertson isn't the only one going back to the Bible during the conflict in Lebanon. There are others who can quote the Bible, and if Pat can quote the Bible to say that this is God's country and that what Israel is doing is, in effect, we're watching God defend his land, someone else can quote the Bible, too. Here's Israeli ambassador to the UN, Dan Gillerman.
The biblical book of Kings recounts that King Hiram of Tyre in Lebanon sent cedar trees and expert craftsmen to King Solomon, son of David, to join him in building the holy temple and the city of peace in Jerusalem.
So his biblical precedent is Lebanon was an ally to Israel. This is the Israeli ambassador to the UN, Dan Gillerman. So in the past, the ancient past, of course, Lebanon helped supply Israel with the raw materials needed to build the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Here's more from UN ambassador, Israeli ambassador, Dan Gillerman.
Our peoples have a long and glorious history of building together. Let us find the courage to rise from the ashes of war and ruins of conflict and to build together once again.
All right, so Pat Robertson has his reading of the Bible, which is, hey, this is God's territory. God's defending it. God will defend it. People who try to give up the territory, even if you're the Israeli ambassador, read Ariel Sharon, better watch out. And we should be supporting Israel, as he was taught by his mother as a young child, that you better be blessing Israel, otherwise God may not bless you. Isn't that interesting? An interesting condition for God's blessings. Christians can say, boy, I might miss out on God's blessings if I don't bless Israel. I thought all the blessings of God were ours in Jesus Christ. I thought we expected God's favor, his grace, his mercy, and all the blessings of that he bestows upon us solely because of what Jesus Christ did for us. But Pat Robertson says, no, if you want blessings from God, you better be blessing Israel. Israel is the new mediator between God and man, apparently. And then the UN ambassador to the Israeli ambassador to the UN, Dan Gillerman, says, now, wait a minute. Biblical precedent would say that there would be peace between Lebanon and Israel. They've been allies in the past. Here's the Lebanese UN envoy, Tarek Mitri. He disagrees with Gillerman's application of God's word. He has one of his own.
It pains me to hear the reference in the Bible, Tyre, a city which is now a city of desolation.
Now, he's worried because Tyre, as we would pronounce it, he says Tyre. Tyre is being targeted by the Israelis in their efforts to root out Hezbollah in Lebanon. So it pains him to hear the Israeli ambassador to the UN cite the Bible as, well, look, we should have peace together. The UN envoy from Lebanon, Tarek Mitri, says that today's conflict is the opposite of the ancient help that the king of Tyre gave to King Solomon when he was building his temple.
King Hiram of Tyre sent cedar trees to build, and the Israelis are destroying Tyre today.
So he sees an irony there between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Israelis are destroying what their old friend. What do you think about God's word being? This is the UN, and I don't. As the last time I checked, Pat Robertson doesn't sit at the UN any place. I mean, he sits somewhere nearby, but not at the UN. But everybody's got an opinion about how the Bible, Old Testament, either it's Abraham or the stories of King Solomon and building the temple, applies to today's situation between Israel and Lebanon? What do you think about God's word being tossed about at the United Nations? It's kind of the basis for a policy of peace or a policy of hostility. 505-7850 or outside the metro area, 314-505-7850. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've heard from Pat Robertson, the Israeli and Lebanese ambassadors to the UN. Now let's hear from you. Here's Dennis calling from his car. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Pastor Todd. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make bring up a few points. On the soundbite that Pat Robertson gave, he said he really didn't make any statement as to the fact that he thought about anything, that it was basically affective, based all on his feelings, that he felt these things were correct, and he really didn't quote any scripture. And also the use of Christian and Judeo-Christian scriptures, you know, in a conflict like this, I think it's totally off-center. And the reason I'm saying that is from the other side, from Hezbollah's side, you know, they're followers of apocalyptic Islam, and they're trying to create from their own Quranic scriptures and traditions a conflict that is supposed to arise out of Damascus, which is supposed to incite this world war against the infidels, Jews and the Christians and the unbelievers, and culminate in the destruction of everybody, and then universal Islam is supposed to occur. So I think it's quite dangerous to start quoting from Scripture and using it for a political end.
Dennis, thank you very much. Dennis thinks it's dangerous what Pat Robertson is doing, or the Israeli or the Lebanese ambassadors to the UN are doing. And he's quite right. There is a school of thought in radical Islam that says we must kind of force the apocalyptic moment. We must force the eschatological moment. And from their perspective, it's kind of interesting. It's a doomsday Islam versus a doomsday Christianity. They say, look, we should force the moment upon which the end of time will come, this great battle. Who's saying that? Well, both Pat Robertson and radical Muslims are saying it from two different sides. When we were talking about Christian Zionism, and I think Serge Trifkovic of Chronicles Magazine has also chimed in on this here on these airwaves, when we talk about whether it's Christian Zionism or apocalyptic Islam, the danger here is self-fulfilling prophecy. You know what self-fulfilling prophecy is. You all learned this when you were taking Psych 101 in college. Self-fulfilling prophecy is if you believe something is going to happen, you often consciously, unconsciously see to it that it does. That doesn't mean the prophecy, that they're reading prophecy rightly. In fact, both of them are reading prophecy wrongly. But you can make your own prophecies come true if you have the wherewithal to do it. What about you? 505-7850, 314-505-7850 outside of St. Louis, or our email address issues, etc@kfuo.org. Chris writes this from Carson City, Nevada. Why does everyone always say that the Jews have a biblical right to Israel? You know, I've been hearing this not only on Christian radio, I've been hearing it on conservative talk radio, too. Non-Christian conservative talk radio. It is simply assumed that the Jews have the biblical right to Israel. Chris says, didn't God take it away a few times in the Old Testament? I'm thinking of the Babylonian captivity. Mm-hmm. And if they have this right, why were they exiled so long? Was God not paying attention all these years before 1948? Was he asleep, asks Chris, in Carson City? I don't know. Well, I can tell you what the dispensational answer would be. The dispensational, the Pat Robertson-style answer would be, no, God wasn't asleep. He was preparing the ground to get the prophetic timetable started again. It's been on hold for 2,000 years because, of course, Jesus came, should have, he wouldn't put it this way, but I think this is the way it comes out, should have raised Israel to the prominence it has today by becoming Israel's earthly king. Should have started the 1,000-year reign back in 33 A.D., but he was rejected, and God had to resort to Plan B, and so for the last 2,000 years, no, Chris, God hasn't been asleep, according to Pat Robertson. He's been working human events around so that he can get the timetable started again. End the church age, which he never really intended to do in the first place, and get back to focusing on Israel. And Pat Robertson really does believe, and Christians of his theological ilk really do believe, that in 1948, when the modern state of Israel was established, the prophetic clock started ticking again, and God was preparing, and they believe it's going to happen anytime soon, God was preparing to whisk the Christians off the earth and get back to what he really wanted to do in the first place, not save people through Jesus Christ, but deal with his Old Testament people in an Old Testament way, even with sacrifices and a rebuilt temple. They believe that the 1948 establishment of the modern state of Israel was a sign that God's ready to start the Old Testament again. The New Testament was, they say, a parenthesis, an unforeseen eventuality that God is ready to dispense with. You know, if you have this kind of worldview based upon a wrong reading of Scripture, what kind of view are you going to have towards, say, Muslims who are in real trouble? Not a very good one. It is only a right reading of biblical prophecy and of Scripture as Christ-centered and cross-focused that will cause you not to say, well, if it's Israel's enemies, we'd fooey with them, let's go to war. No, to say, whoever you are, Jew, Muslim, Christian, atheist, if you are in need, then we will help. That's what LCMS World Relief is doing. To find out more about them, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can call and earmark a donation through LCMS World Relief to their many efforts to bring the touch of mercy of Jesus Christ and Him crucified to those who are in need worldwide. 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. When we come back from this break, Deaconess Emily Carter is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about feminist lies in the Gospels, the war against girls. She made a presentation at the Higher Things Youth Conference recently titled War Against Girls, Feminism's Assault on Women. Then, a little later in that second hour, Pastor Kirk Clayton will join us to talk about homosexuality. In the third hour, David Gibbs, the pro bono attorney for the Schindler family, will tell us what you probably didn't hear about the life and death of Terry Schindler Schiavo. And then we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.